Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James chapter 1, verse 22. Welcome to our study of great Bible chapters. Today we're going to be looking at James chapter 1, which teaches us about the great work that God has for His people. It's one thing to say, I'm a Christian. It's one thing to say, I've been baptized for the remission of my sins, and I believe Jesus is God's Son, and I want to go to heaven. And it's a totally different thing to say, by your actions, I'm a follower of Christ. By your works, I want to go to heaven. And by the deeds that you do, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Someone can say one thing, and their life prove a totally different point. And someone can say nothing, and yet their life, by their actions and their deeds, prove that they are faithful to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. James chapter 1 is all about showing by our actions, by our works, that we are faithful to God and that we want to serve Him all the days of our life. And so what is the great work that James teaches Christians must do? James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, we learn that Christians are, by their actions, to prove they can endure trials and temptations. Notice James verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Isn't this so different than the way we think today? I don't know very many people who, when trials come in their life, just stand up and rejoice that they have those trials. We often get discouraged and we get down and we get depressed and we sometimes say, "Well, God, why are you doing this to me, God?" When in reality, Christians can have joy in their trials. I'm reminded of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. They're in a deep, dark, dank dungeon in Philippi. And the Bible says they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Well, how is it that in that dark place, in that dungeon, that prison in Philippi, they could be praising God? Because Paul really took to heart what he wrote. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because even in the midst of those trials, God will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13, verse 5. You still have all the benefits and blessings of a child of God. All spiritual blessings are still yours. Ephesians 1, verse 3. You still have the hope and joy of heaven. James chapter 1 teaches us, and we must never give up on God because God will not give up on us. But why else should we rejoice in trials? Because of what the trials can do for us. James 1 verse 3 says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." The trials that we face refine us. They help us to see our impurities. When I go through difficulties in life, I can see areas that I need improvement. Just like metal that is refined in the melting pot, and all the impurities, all the dirt, all the metal that is not the toughest metal is got out of the way, is purified. So today, when Christians face trials, they can see, I need to grow in my faith. I need to control my anger better. I need to learn to control my tongue. I need to remember to glorify God in all that I do. I can see areas of improvement in my life, and it helps me to have better endurance, better patience as I face those trials. And then we learn in verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Christians must be a people of wisdom. That is, we must pray to God and ask for His help in dealing with the struggles and challenges that we face in life. Someone might ask, what is wisdom? Wisdom is different from book smarts in that book smarts is intellect. It's having all the right answers, knowing all the facts, having the right knowledge. But wisdom is different in that it's taking those facts, taking that intellect, taking that knowledge, and putting it to use in your life. I may know all the Bible facts that there are. I may know every verse, have every verse memorized, know every name of every person in the Bible, know what God teaches on every subject, and have that knowledge, and still not be God what God wants me to be because I don't know how to use that. Wisdom is taking the knowledge God has given us in the Scripture and putting that to use in our life tomorrow. How do I face this challenge? What does God say I need to do in this area practically in my life? I'm being tempted by lust. What does God say? God teaches us not to give into that. God teaches us to focus our attention on other things. God teaches us that that will cost me my soul and that I need to get strength and courage from prayer and from God, from others. It's taking what God says and putting it to use in our practical life. And so we must be a people of prayer who ask for God's help in dealing with wisdom, in dealing with the struggles that we face in this life. But then James teaches us truly that it all will be worth it. For James chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures, for when he's been approved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who loved him." Part of the Christian work is living in view of a life of heaven. How blessed it is when we endure the trials and the tribulations and we can know that we've got that crown of life awaiting us. Paul felt this way, for in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me on that day, but not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing." If we endure, if we don't give up, if in the midst of trials we stay focused on heaven, then the Christian work will be completed as we die faithful to the Lord. Jesus said in Revelation 2 verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." But you know, part of my Christian work is that I must not blame God for the troubles and the struggles that I face. You know, sometimes when people face trials, the first thing they do is say, "Well, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why'd you do that to me?" Listen to what James says in James chapter 1, verse 13. "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone with evil." When bad things happen, God at times does test His children. But when evil comes into our life, when we're tempted by evil, I can't say to God, "Well, God, why'd you do that to me?" God's not the source of that temptation. God's not using evil to tempt anyone. For Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says that God is of pure eyes than to behold evil, and He cannot look upon wickedness. God is not going to use sin and evil to tempt His children, and I ought not to blame God for the problems that I have. In reality, I am often the reason for my own temptation and my own sin. For the Scripture says in James chapter 1 verse 14, "Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." When I've got someone to blame, I need to blame myself. I need to say, "Why did you let yourself get involved in that? Why didn't you submit to God?" Don't blame God and say, "God, it's your fault." God's done everything possible to help me overcome the sin problem. In fact, God's not the tempter. God is the giver of all good gifts. James 1 verse 17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variation of turning." God is not the tempter. God's the giver. Part of my Christian work, the great Christian work, is to be thankful to God as the giver of all good gifts. How blessed we are to know that God and to be assured that God will give us what we need in this life. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Paul said in Philippians 4 verse 19, "My God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus." David said, "I was young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Psalm 37 and verse 25. And so we must realize our God is the good giver. He gives us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. Acts chapter 14, verses 11 through 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 9 through 23. And so, yes, God is that good giver. And because God is not the tempter, God's the good giver, we need to be careful what we say. The Bible says in James 1 verse 19, some of the most challenging words that most people know, and yet they're so hard to fulfill. James 1:19 says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." God has given us two ears and one mouth. We need to do twice as much listening and half as much speaking. Oh, how much better off we'd be if we would listen before we speak. To control one's tongue, which James is going to discuss in depth in James chapter 3, is one of the great challenges in life. Often when something is said to us, or something is said against us, or something happens, instead of thinking about it, the first thing we do is often say something, when in reality, we need to be swift to hear, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We need to race to hear, crawl, slow down when we speak, and slow to get angry. Why? For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And thus James teaches us we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. What's it really mean to be a doer of the word? It means that we put into practice the things that we know in Scripture. Now James gives us an example of that in James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Here's what it means to be a doer of the word. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his own tongue but deceives his own heart, that one's religion is useless. Being a doer of the word means you've got to put the principle of James 1:19 to work. You've got to learn, I've got to learn to control my tongue. If I can't bridle my tongue, everything I do in Christianity is vain. Well, what else does it mean to be a doer of the word? Notice James 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Being a follower of Christ and really doing what He says means that I've got to help those who are in need. Look at what Jesus did. He fed those who were hungry. He helped those who were hurting. Those who were sick, Jesus healed. Those who had evil spirits, He cleansed them of those. Jesus went about doing good. And if I'm really going to put to practice the principles of Christianity, I've got to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. James chapter 1, verse 27, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. The fatherless and the widows, the orphans and the widows, I've got to help them. The Bible teaches that those are people Christians must help. Those who need the help of the church, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and of Christians, I've got to make sure and help them individually and collectively as the church. And then, notice, part of being doers of the word, doers of the work, means that I must keep myself unspotted from the world. I've got to do my best to keep sin and Satan and this old world out of my life. And that is a challenge, for Satan on every hand is trying to tempt me and is trying to tempt you. But like Jesus, I can overcome the temptation just as Jesus did in Matthew 4 by realizing God's Word has the power. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did He do? It is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus had taken the Word of God, put it into His heart, and had meditated on it, thought about it, and knew how to use it, had the wisdom to use it in His life. How we need to study the Scripture, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. How we need to meditate upon God's Word, 1 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 16. And how we need to think about ways to put God's Word to use in our life so that we can be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. May God help each of us to have the courage and the determination to truly be doers of the Word and not hearers only, so that we can glorify Him in everything that we say and do.